this morning? Good. All righty. Let's go ahead and start off here this morning with a word of prayer. Ready? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we love you so much. And Father, we are just so grateful, Father, just for this wonderful day to be together, Father God, as one body, Father, for one purpose. And Lord, as we have the great opportunity, Lord God, just to open your word and Father, just to talk about the things, Father God, of your word. And Lord God, I just pray that you be with me on this day, Father God, that I am able, Lord God, just to present this message, Father, in a way that is worthy of you and that will glorify you. And also in a way, Father God, that we as the body can gain more insight and wisdom, Father God, of your word. And Lord God, we just love you and we praise you in your son's name. Amen. All right, I guess this lesson that we're going to go through this morning is going to sound pretty familiar with a theme that we have been going over, seems like the last, for a long time now. And I know a lot of times it might seem like it's pretty repetitive, we're just over and over and over again, but I think there's always a reason for that when we seem to go over the same thing. I think our Lord is trying to get a message across to us, and I think this lesson will go pretty well with Brian's class, what he had this morning. I really appreciate Brian and the lesson that he brought forth this morning, and it'll go real hand in hand with Bob's class on Wednesday, the things he's been going over, and actually it'll cover a lot of the same theme of what Andy went over last week. Last week, Brother Andy, he spoke on the three phases of faith. The initial faith enough to act, faith to keep moving forward. And that is actually faith. When we talk about faith, that is something that I have been thinking about personally. I have been thinking about for some time now. And I'm sure a lot of you guys, too, think about faith, you know, your own faith, or what does it mean to have faith, or, you know, or what is faith? So, you know, when you hear the word faith, what comes to your mind? What's the initial first thing that comes to your mind? You know, you don't have to tell me. Just think out loud. You know, on faith, what comes to your mind? And I thought it was interesting. If you look up the definition of faith, you know, you get multiple definitions and meanings of faith. You know, from the allegiance to duty of a person, sincerity of intentions, belief and trust in. Something that is believed, especially with strong conviction, without question. And here's an interesting one. Firm belief in something for which there is no proof. You know, if you look up faith, that's the definitions that you'll get. And a while ago, I don't know, probably this past summer, I read something and that I thought was pretty interesting. And I read it over the last few days to help me to get a clearer picture for myself about how to look at faith. And they said that to look at faith as a picture held in the mind until it becomes a reality. You know, and I thought that was pretty interesting, to look at faith as a picture held in the mind until it becomes a reality. And when we look at faith on how God explains it, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. You know, we get out of the Hebrews 11. And out of Hebrews 11's chapter also gives us many other examples of individuals who had faith and great faith that we can reference. They and all these individuals that we read out of Hebrews 11's chapter all had this mental picture of what God told them and how they could maintain it through that picture through many difficulties until they have achieved their goal. I'll take this off for a second. This thing drives me insane. And everybody, every time they put it on, they always play with it and adjust it until they get it right. I don't know. I do kind of like wearing it, though. It makes me feel like a pop star, like I'm on stage performing and everything. Yeah. You know? So, that's the picture I have right now down the spot. You know? So, you know, these individuals that we read out of in the Hebrews 11 chapter, they had this mental picture of what God told them, and they maintained this picture through many difficulties in their life until until they achieve that their goal. And of all the individuals that we read out of that have faith, many of the ones that we like to refer to are individuals such as Moses, Noah, and Abraham. And probably because why we like to refer to them is because they give us a great example of things that they went through in life when it comes to their faith. And each one of them had this picture of that God gave them, and they held this picture until death. And I'm going to be reading a lot of scriptures today. You can turn with me, or you can just take notes, or whatever you want to. But we're going to start off Hebrews 11:7. Talks about the faith of Noah being warned by God about the things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now, when we think about Noah, okay, you know, we think about the Noah building the ark and all this stuff, and there's a lot of a story that we like to tell our children and things like that. But Noah had this picture that God gave him about what he would be the deliverance. That God gave Noah a picture by which his deliverance would be accomplished. See, God told Noah to build this ark, right? And you just picture that in your mind about being Noah, that God comes to Noah, tells Noah, you know, to build this ark, that there's going to be this great massive flood, and tells him why, okay? He gives Noah this picture, this mental picture. And Noah only had this mental, this picture of an ark, and it only merely existed in his mind, right? This picture that God gave him about this ark only merely existed in the mind of Noah. But even though it only existed in his mind and he physically couldn't see it, Noah physically couldn't see the picture of this ark, you know, and only merely existed in his mind. One thing that Noah didn't do is that Noah didn't waver, right? You know, through all I was going through Noah's mind and this picture that God gave him and everybody. You just imagine, you know, this Noah telling, you know, his family, Noah telling everybody about this ark and the things that, you know, that God told him, and, you know, just everybody laughing at him and all this stuff, making fun of him. And he just starts to build this massive ark and all this stuff, and, you know, the way that God wanted him to build it and everything. And, you know, he just kept on going because God gave him this picture, right? He just kept going and going and going, you know, because he had faith in what God told him. So Noah didn't waver. And we see that his picture became a reality, and what? An assurance of things hoped for, and the things and the conviction of things that have not yet been seen. Acts 7:22-25 tells us here about Moses. Says Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians, and he was a man of power in words and deeds. But when he was approaching the age of 40, it entered his mind to visit his brethren, the sons of Israel. And when he saw one of them being treated unjustly, he defended him and took vengeance for the oppressed by striking down the Egyptians. And he supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand. Again, just like Noah, Moses had this picture that God gave him. This picture was of Moses being the deliverer of his people. Okay, and we all know the story here of Moses. You know, when he growing up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and then rather than enjoying the great pleasures of that life of being Pharaoh's daughter, he chose to to endure the ill treatment. Okay, of to be with God's people. He was looking towards the reward. Moses was looking towards the reward. And by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing what the king would do to him. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. And even by faith, Moses, through the release of Israel, was a picture in his mind. You know, Moses had this picture in his mind that he would deliver Israel, right? You know, if he didn't waver, the crossing of the Red Sea and the passing of the wilderness was a sure thing. See, it was the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen that was with Moses throughout his life. And if you think about Moses and you get this, you know, this picture that God gave him, and if you actually put yourself into Moses' place and you think about that, all that he went through, right? And you try to think, you know, the parting of the Red Sea, right? And we start to see those things, and God told him, you know, to go. You know, I'm with you. Okay, and he got, you know, the Egyptians are chasing him and everything, and he gets to the Red Sea, and then everybody's, you know, whining and crying and complaining and all this stuff, but Moses didn't waver. You know, he stayed faithful, you know, until the end. And I always find that kind of interesting when I think about Moses, is, you know, when you get to the Red Sea, you know, how it, you know, parted, you know, and things like that. You know, if you've physically seen that and all that stuff, and then you walk through it and then get to the other side, and then the people, when they've physically seen something that seems impossible to happen, and they still whine and complain and cry, right? I mean, that's just kind of like mind-blowing to me, and I guess, you know, probably to you guys too, and I imagine if we were there as well, we probably would have been some of those ones that were crying and complaining as well. But I find it kind of fascinating, you know, the story of that. Romans 4, the 4th chapter, 1 through 3 says, What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, is found? And if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. What did Abraham believe? You know, God had promised Abraham a son, Isaac, through which other promises would come. God gave Abraham a picture that he would be the father of many nations through Isaac, and his descendants would be numberless. You know, we know the story of the events that took place with Abraham, him and Sarah and stuff, you know, being real old and older in their age and stuff like that. But, you know, God still gave him this picture of something that seemed impossible to accomplish. You know, I think God likes to do that, is give us pictures of things or put things in our life that seem to be impossible to accomplish. But I guess he likes to take on the challenge, right? Of course, it ain't a challenge to him. But, you know, he likes to take on those things. Romans 4, 16 through 22 says, "For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham. It is the father of us all, as it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. In the presence of him who he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into the being that which does not exist. In hope against hope, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations, according to which he had spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he complimented his own body, now as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelieving, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that the God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness." Continue with that on Hebrews 11, 17 through 19 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise of offering up was only his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, 'In Isaac your descendants shall be called.' Consider that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type." You know, you think about that. God gives Abraham this picture that he was going to be the father of many nations through Isaac, and then God wants him to offer up this sacrifice of his son Isaac and stuff like that. But Abraham did not waver. You know, he held fast to the picture that God initially gave him. And see, under the most difficult circumstances in his Abraham's life, he held fast to that picture that God gave him in hope against hope. He stayed faithful. He didn't waver. See, Abraham's picture was the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. And I think many times, you know, we hope for things, but you know, it challenges us when we can't see things. You know, briefly talked about, you know, when Brian won his questions in his class, you know, why does worldly people, I guess, do things? Because they can't see things. Obviously, they can't see the scriptural meaning of things, spiritual meaning of things, because there's a veil, right? And naturally, people like to have a thing that to focus on. You know, there's a laptop, okay? If there wasn't I can physically see it. Makes it more easier, right? And we know that through Abraham's life, you know, he didn't waver, and he actually never really got to see the promise, the picture come true in his lifetime. You know, these three examples are that we know of Moses and Abraham are only a few examples that we can look back on, you know, to reference things, you know, of many people of great faith. And like I said, we like to refer to these individuals a lot because they give us a great example of that. You know, and when we look back on to see how one's faith in God and resulting in the promise of God's coming true, but you know, when it comes to us, but how can we relate to them? You know, current day, how can we relate to Noah, Moses, Abraham, and others? I mean, obviously, I'm not saying that it never happened, but I mean, is God going to come down and, you know, tell us to, you know, build something because this great flood's getting ready to come, or, you know, to go and lead these people, and then when we get to a point, you know, they'll tell us what to do, and the seas will part. You know, I don't think that we're going to get to that point now, but how can we relate to those individuals? You know, how does God give us a picture to hold on to? You know, current day. Like I said, naturally people like to look at physical things to give a picture. I guess helps them see things. Romans, the 10th chapter. Verse 17. Says this. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. That right there is how we get our picture. That right there is the picture that we must have. You know, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. If we have that picture, it will give us the keys to unlock the door of understanding of God's truth. It is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. All in God's Word. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4.
Right. Thank you. think about our life and compare it to others' lives, you know, also with Rebecca, you have a new understanding. That's going to come our way about the new, right? The challenges that we're going through. I think we're going to be able to do it. I think we're going to be able to do it. I think we're how do I know that it's true? The 28th, 14th, and 26th. What use is it, my brother? If someone says he has faith, that he has no work, that's what he says. If a brother or sister is without faith and you need a brother or sister, the one of you will have faith in that brother or sister, you warn and you kill, and you have to do that again, and there is that because of the body. What do you do? You need to have faith so that you have no more to get by doing that by yourself. Someone may well say, you have faith, and I have work. Some of you are saying you have faith, and I will say my faith, I don't know. You believe that God is one, you do well, and you're not the one who's the same. But are you willing to recognize that you are a single fellow that faith without works is useless? It's not anything that a father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, the son of Walter. You see that faith is working with God, with his work, and as a result, none of the other works is by faith that the son. And Scripture and Savior have said, we can believe God. And there was nothing to see him that was to see him that was to see the call of the same God. You see that a man is justified by words and not by faith in him. The same way as a man at the harvest must be justified by words and see the messengers and put them in the crown by another way. And just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also without the spirit. You want to have the mindset that we have faith. You know, we get a lot. Why not? I don't faith. Right? So we want to have the mindset to say we have faith, that we don't want to do the work, or we're not willing to do the work, or whatever. It is. It is. Right? It's a good use of it. Yeah. The thing about it is Noah only listened to the preacher and what God told him. But he would have held fast to the promise of what he was told. What would happen? He would have died on the left. He wouldn't have anything in the ground just like everybody else. Instead, he got the work of setting his mind on the picture that God gave him until it became a reality. Noah did just as God tells us. Let's hold fast, if you make confessions of others, and not waste it, for he's his promise for safety. So if you think about that, like I said, if you know it, well, they certainly have, you know, like it. So they put in the work, they put in the action, and get the control of the reality, but who are you going to have to do with everybody? The ship, like I said, for me to find it in the because God is not going to give us a picture of how we can do something, and he's going to do something, but he's not going to do it. It all comes back down to what I'm going to do. My mind. Everything we've got to do in life always comes back down to our mind. Actions or reactions or thoughts or everything comes back down to the mind. But the mind is what the past has occurred in a lot of that. And here's another thing as well. But in our past, what happened to you before, and now that we probably won't be more conscious and subconscious mind, it's not so pretty interesting. Even though we are conscious of our mind, and
Of the virtue of